Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and about 24 hours from now, many of you will be hearing the Bluff the Listener Challenge on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which airs Saturday mornings at 11 on WNYC. But right now, Mr. Roy Blunt Jr., a regular presenter on the Bluff the Listener Challenge, and now the author of Save Room for Pie, Food Songs and Chewy Ruminations, is here with us. Hi, Roy. Welcome to WNYC as one station in the vast Wait, Wait Network.
Hey, Brian. Well, it's good to be here. I take some issue with your introducing me as going from the profound to the ridiculous. I mean, just because I write about pie, I mean, there's nothing ridiculous about pie, surely.
And it was Pi Day this week, and nobody thought that was ridiculous.
That's true, yeah.
But I want to start by turning the tables and ask you to call our bluff. Here's the news item. You tell us if it's true or false.
Oh, okay.
Risque wordplay is being served up like foreplay on menus to spice up ordinary dishes like tacos, french fries, and cocktails with names fully loaded with sexual undertones. We're such a sex-driven culture, says chef Brian Washington Palmer of newly opened Sexy Taco Dirty Cash, a taqueria in Harlem. Why not get playful with the experience of food? Even the comfort food gets a sensual spin here. Take the Sexy Mac, a sizzling mattress of Parmesan, blue cheese, cheddar, and cottage cheese-drenched pasta, or the Sexy Taco, pronounced or spelled like tacow, stuffed with braised ground beef, cheddar cheese, lettuce, and rice-a-roni. So what do you think, Roy, true or false?
Well, you have got me both hungry and stirred up. I would say that's probably true. That sounds like the kind of direction that our culture is headed.
True is right. That from a Daily News article in January. So as a veteran eater, what do you think? Are tacos sexy, and does rice-a-roni make them any sexier?
No, I don't think rice-a-roni helps. I think that food is basically, is essentially sexy and doesn't have to be tarted up. There's nothing sexier than, it depends on what your taste is. Personally, I think okra is sexy, but it's certainly slick. And if you cook it right, it's the next thing to a big sloppy kiss.
It's a texture thing with okra.
Yeah.
I didn't even know rice-a-roni exists anymore.
I didn't either, yeah. I wouldn't add it to anything, my goodness.
But one contentious story that comes up in your book concerns the debatably ironic biscuits at Empire Biscuits, which was on Avenue A and is now closed. For those who didn't know, what were ironic biscuits and where do you think they went wrong?
Oh, well, they had all kinds. They were tarting them up. Biscuits are just a good, solid thing. And they had, I've forgotten, they had mango. They had banana pudding, I think. They had biscuits with banana pudding on them. That's like, putting banana pudding on your perfectly good-looking spouse. I mean, biscuits are a down-home regular thing with a nice, almost musty appeal. And to start slathering weird things on them is to just ruin the whole concept.
So, listeners, we could sneak in a question or two for Roy Blunt Jr. on his new book, Save Room for Pie, Food Songs and Chewy Ruminations, but it's got to be on topic. So I have no idea what you would ask, but if you want to call him and stay on topic, Save Room for Pie, Food Songs and Chewy Ruminations, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So when it comes,
Please
go ahead.
If we want to sort of take a philosophical bent here, which might give us a topic, the whole theory and principle of Save Room for Pie is that, you know, after the first couple of French fries or potato chips, you know you have had the best of it, and you know that you want to just keep on stuffing your face with them. You can go two ways. You can say, okay, fathead, just go ahead and eat all the rest of those French fries. You don't need them. You don't really want them, but you're going to eat them all. You're disgusting. Or you can go the other way and say, why don't we save room for pie?
So there's no narrative arc, is what you're saying, by having a large fries.
Well, the narrative arc of saving room for pie. There's certainly an arc there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to food, what are some of the differences between Southern hospitality and Northern hospitality?
Southern hospitality is not always what it's cracked up to be, but Northern hospitality is not cracked up to be anything.
If we put this to our listeners, some may call it a bluff, but because you've written about it, you know it's true. The New York Times once ran a headline that said, Southern practice of eating dirt shows signs of waning. That was in 1984. Do you think it's time for a dirt-eating renaissance?
Well, later on, the Times did another story in which it confessed that people have been eating dirt all over the world and all down through history. Kale pectate comes from kale in clay. People eat dirt or eat clay in order to address their digestive problems. So it shouldn't be laid all on the South, but of course people will assume that. And I never ate any dirt, so I feel I'm not defensive about eating dirt. However, I just will cite the follow-up story by the Times that said that it's just perfectly natural to chew on a little clay.
Maybe if they sprinkle dirt on top of a cronut, it'll become big in Williamsburg.
Yeah, right. That's sort of the opposite of putting banana pudding on a biscuit.
So, Lissa in Jersey City, you're on WNYC with Roy Blunt Jr. Hi, Lissa.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Roy.
Hey, how you doing, Lissa?
Good. So, I'm one of the co-founders of Jersey City Pie Day, which I created with my best friend, Gabby Curry, because we believe there's a shortage of good pie in the world and in Jersey City in specific.
Oh.
And so I'm a big lover of pie and would love to know what is one of your favorite pies and also what is one of your favorite pie songs, because we play a lot of pie songs during Pie Day.
Oh, well, I wrote a song to pie which has no lyrics, but it was actually sung by Andy McDowell in the movie, what was the name of that movie? The movie Michael. So somebody put a tune to it, but I couldn't carry the tune, but it's, nothing tastes sweet, wet, salty, and dry all at once so well as pie. I've done that. I think it's great to promote. People say there are cake people and pie people, and I'm a pie person. I mean, there's nothing wrong with cake, but pie just gives you a lot more dimension.
You not every New Yorker has had an incident in the Times Square Nathan's famous hot dog shop.
That's right.
But you have.
Yeah. I did.
What happened?
Sitting there getting ready to enjoy my hot dog, and I had the kind of corn, the Nathan's corn, which is real bright yellow corn. I had my corn cob there on my plate, and a woman with about a 5-year-old child sat down, and she was going to leave them there and go get some food for them, and she said to the child, what do you want now? What do you want? And the child reached over and poked my ear of corn. physically poked my ear of corn. It was sort of rocking back and forth in the butter. And I was so taken aback, I didn't know what to say. And the woman, all the mother had said was, Rachel, you need more than that. So I went on and ate it. I didn't want to let it go to waste. But Rachel sort of glared at me while I, my own ear of corn, I ate it, but she had established her right to poke it.
I guess that's Northern hospitality.
I guess maybe it is.
Eddie in Brooklyn.
I was being hospitable.
No, yes.
The Southern hospitality is just going ahead and eating your corn after somebody's poked it.
I guess. Eddie in Brooklyn Heights, you're on WNYC with Roy Blunt Jr. Hi, Eddie.
Hi.
So?
You didn't think biscuits could be adorned. I'm from Texas, so.
Yeah.
One of the big things down there is, they call them sausage balls, but they're really biscuits with sausage and cheese in them. Mm. You mix raw country sausage and cheese into biscuit dough and form it into balls, or I just make them like biscuits and scoop them out on a pan and bake them. Mm. And they're very tasty.
Well, biscuits, I mean, sausage certainly goes with biscuits, so I'm not complaining about that.
That's, yeah. Also, I'd like to say I'm a baker, and I agree with you about pie, but I think that people don't want to bother, especially up here, they don't want to bother to make pie dough, especially, you know, with butter or anything. And I think it's really essential to make your own pie dough if you're going to make a pie. And I really like apple pie a lot myself, but it's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Right, yeah. A lot of people, I've talked to cooks, excellent cooks, who say the one thing they've never been able to master is pie dough. That gives you some idea of how complex and rich and variegated pie dough is. I mean, pie crust is. I'm just thinking about some pie crust right now.
We have.
You almost don't need to add anything to the crust.
Roy Blunt Jr. with us for another couple of minutes. His new book, Save Room for Pie, Food Songs and Chewy Ruminations. Somebody told me you wrote about possum in this book. Did you?
Yeah, I wrote a long story for Sports Illustrated back when Sports Illustrated did stories about things like possums. About going down, there was a man down in Alabama who, for a while, lots of cars you would see around the country had a bumper sticker that said, "Eat more possum." And that was his movement. And he said that possums were the answer to the world hunger problem, which didn't quite take hold. But they're very sustainable. And and he had a contest every year. He had a beauty contest where people would present their prettiest possums, all shampooed up. And so I was a judge in the possum contest, and it was quite an experience. I said, "I'm not sure I know how to judge possums. I mean, who am I to judge a possum?" And he said, "You can just tell a good possum." And sure enough, all the judges tended to agree which possum was prettiest, which possum was better behaved.
Did they taste like chicken?
They tasted a little. They tasted greasy. They tasted a little more like pork than chicken because they were kind of greasy. I say they. Yeah, I only had one, but it was. You know, it was okay. It tasted like kind of a chicken that had hung out with a lot of pigs.
All right, let me get your quick take on a New York City news story here. The health department issued an advisory this week that allows people to bring their dogs to restaurants that have outdoor seating. In your opinion, should we be dining with dogs?
Well, the French have been doing it forever, you know, and I think when people say the French never get fat, I think that's because they feed every other bite to the little dog. And it's good, works out for both dog and person. I don't know. I mean, it depends on the dog, obviously. There are dogs which will put both their front paws up on the table. Or talk about a child poking your corn.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
And a dog will poke your corn, depending on the dog. Right. So it's almost noontime. What's for lunch?
I don't know. I'm here in Washington, and I thought I might just have a little. I had a BLT at the airport this morning in whatever city I was in, Raleigh-Durham. And I don't know. What do you recommend in Washington?
Are you? I don't know D.C. that much. We'll just say the BL show ends with a reference to the BLT from Mr. Roy Blunt Jr., whose new book is Save Room for Pie, Food Songs and Chewy Ruminations. What a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. I bet you've never had the word pie spoken so many times, so in such a
not
short period of time.
Not in one 15-minute segment. Absolutely not.
Men's and mouth bottom, I come to your place every day if you've got them. Pie, meal, my.